Okay, we're up to the Gemara on the bottom of the page. The Chav Zayin Amid Beis Seita. Yesterday, you know what my chavrusa was? Microphone. First time in 28 years. You have to be sorry. No, I'm saying this. I took it as a compliment. Since I started Toshim Mem Ches, it's 28 years. First time. It's a good thing I have this. We are up to the Gemara here.
Oisai.
It says in the Mishnah that when the woman is suspected of committing adultery, that she drinks the water and she refuses to admit and she's actually culpable, not only does the water adversely affect her, but also the man who's accused to be the other party also is affected in the water at the same time. How do we? All the Mishnah says is Oisai. So who's the Mishnah referring to? First, we're trying to understand the Mishnah. Oisai Laman. Who's the Mishnah referring to? The water affects him. Ilay Labal, the husband. Baal Mayavi. What did the husband do wrong? Why should the water affect him? He had a mitzvah to go and warn his wife. The Chitaim, if you can tell me, he's talking about an instance, the East Bay Ova, and if the husband committed a sin. Top of the page, Chav Chesam and Aleph. Next page. Next page, right at the top. The East Bay Ova, if the husband committed a sin. For example, that before, once she's in doubt, he's not allowed to live with her. If he did live with her, so he committed a sin, then if she drinks the water, she's guilty, he also gets punished. But the whole idea is, if he committed a sin with her, if he lived with her afterwards, the water is rendered useless, ineffective. So not that the water is effective and kills her and kills him. The water doesn't do anything to her, so it sure doesn't do anything to him. We learned, it says in the Pasuk, the man is innocent from any sin, and the woman, she carries her own sin. If the water affects her, he shouldn't feel guilty. As long as the man is innocent, he didn't know any, had any relation with her afterwards, and the water affects his wife. But the man is not innocent, nobody had relations with her afterwards, the water is rendered ineffective, doesn't have any effect on the wife, surely no effect on him. So what's going on? Ella, though, when the Mishnah says that the water also affects him meant leboyom, to the adulterer. So the Gemara listening. So why does the Mishnah, why so vague? Oisai, the Mishnah could have openly said leboyom. Kiritani Sefer, it says later on in the Mishnah, Kishem Shasur Lebal, once she's accused, and she went through two stages, she's not allowed, permitted to live with the husband, Kachasur Lebal, nor can she live, even if she divorces, the husband dies, she can no longer live with the adulterer. So the Mishnah has no problem, no qualm using the word boil. So why does the Mishnah use the word oise, which is so vague, use the word boil? Answer the Gemara, lo elam le boil. Itaka means this, the adulterer. The Reisha, in the beginning of the Mishnah, I did the Tani Oisa. We start off talking about her. So Tani Oisa, we talk about the male counterpart, the one that was involved with her. And if, but we know it means the boil. Sefer, so how come the Sefer changes from Oisai to Baal? I did a Tony Baal. When it's referring to the husband, he used the word Baal, that she's forbidden to live with the husband. Tony Baal, therefore we use expression regarding adulterer, the Baal. Okay, Shanema, it says in the Mishnah, we had a four cases of Akiva. It says in the Mishnah, how do you know that the water affects him as well? Because it talks about the water, the Mayim Hama Oririm. It says twice, Ubo. It says Ubo, Ubo, the Mayim Hama Oririm. Tesis brings a beautiful Rishalmi. The Hama Oririm is Gematria 496. You divide that in half is 248. How many limbs does a person have? 248. So the Pasuk says the Mayim Hama Oririm, the cursed water, will affect 496 limbs, two people. That's the Tesis Rishalmi. Look at it, a little bit hard to understand because a woman, the Gemara says, has 252 Avarim. So it should have actually been 500 total if it means it affects the man and the woman. But anyway, it's just symbolic. Shenemar, it says, vo, vo. Now, there's two ways of understanding Pshat in the Mishnah of Akiva. Is it because it says twice the word, two psukim, it says, vo, the water will come here, the water will come here. So one is for her and one is for him. Or is it because it could have said, vo, the water came. And by having the extra vav, the vav means, and also it will come somewhere else. Is it the vav that he's learning or the fact that it's repetitious? Says, is he saying it could have said, bo? And it says, ubo. So he's learning from the vav, ubo, ubo, come out. The fact that it has two psukim. Tashma coming here. It says Kishem Sha'asur Labal Kachasul. By the next line in the Mishnah talks about another din. First part talks about the water's impact. The next part talks about who is she forbidden to. She's forbidden to the husband, forbidden to the adulterer. And we learn that from different words, it says Venitma, Shanema Nitma Venitma. And it sounds like from there that it's the Vav. Because it says in one passing Nitma, the other passing says Venitma. Sounds like the Vav. So the Gemara,
You
can
ask the same question on that.
Oh, as the mother of you can ask the same question over there. How do you know what's part of a kiva? Is it a kiva learning from the vav or the fact of repetition? Nitma, nitma kamar, or nitma ven nitma kamar? Is the main kvetch that is twice, or the main kvetch that is an extra vav? Toshma, that over there is clear because the Rebbe argues. What do we see? The Rebbe says it. Meditani safe in the next day when it talks about that she's forbidden to husband, forbidden to adulterer. Rebbe says, where do you learn it out from? From the fact that it says a vav, it says twice, shnei pa'amim ha'amudim b'parsha, v'nitma v'nitma. Rebbe stresses the fact that it is repetitious, and why is it twice? Echel ba'al boil. So what's Rebbe Kiva saying? What's he arguing with? Must be Rebbe Kiva's kvetch is the vav. So we go back to the bow. What's Rabbi Kiva dashing the vav? So now, according to Rabbi Kiva, actually, she's a kroik siva. The sixth psukim, which talks about a bow. It says the water will come and affect her. It says, and there's one pasuk. Another pasuk, it says that the water will come and affect her. And there's another pasuk. So three times it says, what are you three psukim for? So according to Rabbi Kiva, chad letzava. One is the Eibush telling the mitzvah. This is what I instruct the water to. This is the job of the water. It's a chalat zavadida. One is to talk to her. The water is going to do this to her. The chalat zavadida, and one is to talk to him, the adulterer. This is what's going to happen if you guys don't admit. And chad la'asiyah dida, and one is regarding one is a tzava. The Eibush is commanding the water. I want you to do this to the woman. I want you to do this to the man. That's two psukim. The next one is to telling you what's exactly going to happen. Chad la'asiya dida, what's going to happen to her, but chad la'asiya dida. But then the psukim actually have the wrong order. Because in the psukim it says the stomach will swell. First it says the legs will swell and then the stomach. Where is the pasuk? It says in the pasuk that first the legs will swell and then the stomach. But actually, it's the other way around, because the water travels down. First the stomach swells and then the legs. So this is the chadal yediyah. One is to notify what's actually going to happen. And it says, will come in your stomach to swell. It says in the pasuk there, bo hamayim ha'ma'odim e'le b'me'ayich, litzboiz botan, to swell the stomach, v'lan pol yerech, and to swell the thigh. So here is coming to the idea that the order that is written in other places is not what's actually going to happen. What's going to happen is this, to be my dear. So you shouldn't walk around later and say, oh, it didn't happen exactly the way the Torah is. All the cynics, she's dropping dead in front of you, but it doesn't matter. People will always look for a way to criticize. So chad li yediyah didah v'chad li yediyah didah. Okay, so according to Rabbi Kiva, you have six psukim. Because the Rebbe who doesn't learn the vav, Rebbe tlasa kroyik. See, the Rebbe holds out three psukim. Chad letzava. One is coming to tell you what is supposed to tell the water what to do. The chad lasia, and one is telling the people what's going to happen. And the chad lidia, one is the idea tell you the order it's going to happen. Nu, so according to Rebbe, you only have three psukim. Just dash in the vav. According to Rebbe Kiva, dash in the vav. So every pasuk is like twice. You have the pasuk without the vav, and then add the vav is the second time. So one for him, one for her, one for him, one for her, and everything. It's tzava, and asiya, and yediyah. According to the Rebbe, he doesn't dash in the vav, meaning has three psukim. One is for tzava, one is for asiya, one is for yediyah. How does he know that the man will also get affected by the water? Minole, how does he know? Nafkele, you know, he learns it from. Midatanya, we learned. It says in the pasuk, lats boy's button, that the stomach should swell, v'lan pol yerech, and that the leg should, the thigh should fall off. Bitnai v'yerech shall boil, is referring to whose stomach and whose thigh, not the woman, but the adulter. Ata oimer bitnai v'yerech shall boil. How do I know? How do I know talking about the adulter, or ene el bitnai v'yerech shall nivel? I'm talking about the woman herself, who was the seiter. Kisha oimer, we have another pasuk where it says that she drinks the water. And it says over there, it says clearly that her stomach will swell and her yerech will fall. And therefore we know that there clearly talks about the woman. What I need the previous passage where it says lots boys button the lamp of yerech. What did it say there? There is referring to the boil himself. Referring to the boil. Says the Gemara. Good question. He doesn't need that pasuk teaching the man. He already has the vav. So what is it? What do you need that pasuk for? I'll tell you, the Moedah LeKoyim, the Koyim wants to reveal to everybody, the Betin Bereisha, the first water will affect the stomach, V'hod HaYorach, and then the thigh. Shalai LaHoitzi Laz Alamayim. When it comes to the Kolola, when we had before, remember we had the Olos, the Kolola, there it mentions first the Yerech before the stomach. So when she says Amen, Amen, it said the first the thigh, and then people will see the stomach also first, the stomach being Moedah Laz Chas HaShom on the Teda. So therefore, he has to tell them bet and bet. The reason why this pasuk says to tell you the first the stomach will be affected. People shouldn't make fun of the mayim morim, because the water in the end will affect exactly the way it travels. It travels from through a mouth via the stomach to the thighs. So that's how it works. How does he know that? If he's using the pasuk bitna to tell you her, and therefore the other pasuk lots of boys button is referring to him. Where does he learn that the Taylor show me my idea that the order is going to be different than what we said in the Klalas? Im kein licht of krol, let her just say bitna v'yerecha. Let her just say bitna v'yerecha. Why in the first pasuk it says betin v'yarech? Shema menol leboil, to teach you that what? For the adulterer. Nu v'eme kul achidasi. Let her say maybe it's only for the adulterer. How do you know also to tell you about the order? Im kein licht of bitna v'yerechai. His. If the only purpose of that pasuk is to tell you the man, then say masculine form. My button v'yorech. You know, as if it's covering all bases. I'm talking about the man, but I'm talking about the woman as well. Why? Because I want to teach you something regarding both of them. What am I teaching you regarding both of them? Shmam notarti. That is well the order, the sequence of events. Omer Rabbi Shua. Rabbi Shua came along and says that as Chaya Katzav learned exactly like Rabbi Akiva. The Vav. Yeah. And Rebbe's one came along and said, because it's repetitious. Then, what we learned. Sholosh Pomim, we're talking about the word Nitma. Going to Rebbe, because it's twice going to Rabbi, according to Rabbi Kiva, because it's the Vav. Erebs Chaya HaKatzav. It's Chaya, the Katzav, the butcher. It says, what about Omer Rabbi Yishua, Kachoy, Deiruz Chaya. What we learned. Sholosh Pomim. 3 times, Amurim HaParsha. It says 3 times in the Parsha. Im Nitma. Says the Parsha, if she became Tame. And she did the wrong thing, and she refuses to admit, and the water will have its effect. Then it says, Nitma again, it says that the husband warned his wife, and she became Tamei, and she did the wrong thing, or he warned his wife, and she did not become Tamei, and again it says another pasuk, that this is the law of Kanois of Saita, if she became Tamei. Lama. Why 3 times in the Parsha to say she's guilty? Echad Lebal. One is to say that she's not forbidden to husband. Ve'echad leboy. One is to say forbidden to adulterer. And ve'echad letrume. And one is to say that if she was a bas koyin, and her husband's a koyin, alamailis. From that moment and onwards, she can no longer eat truma because she's maybe a zoinim. Divir Rabbi Akiva. Omer Rabbi Shmuel says, why do you have to bring me a pasuk to tell me that she cannot live with her husband a koyin, that she cannot marry a koyin, a seita cannot marry a koyin, kal v'chaymer, have a kal v'chaymer, umagrusha, a bas koyin, but she was divorced from a Yisrael, and no kids. The din is she can go back and eat truma, goes home and eat truma, yet she cannot marry a koyin. So surely a woman who cannot marry a koyin, like a seita, surely she can no longer eat truma. So she would tell a truma. Oh, she, if a bas koyin, a grusha divorced, even no children. If she had children, she Yisraelim, she can no longer. But or a halalim, she can no longer eat. But let's say she had no children, she goes back home. So she could eat truma. Yet if she wants to marry a koyin, she can't marry a koyin because she's a grusha. Asur lakuna, zush asur betruma. This woman that is also truma, because it says an extra word in itma. So surely she's also to a koyin. Why do you have to tell me she's also to marry a koyin? Now, the truth of the matter is, where does Rabbi Akiva say she's not allowed to marry a koyin? Rabbi Akiva is talking about that she's not allowed to eat truma. So the next Gemara is going to talk about that. What's the conversation going on here? There's obviously a missing piece here. Ma tam alema, Rabbi Shmuel says, why do I need vihi nitma vihi lo nitma? Why do I need one pasuk? It says, if the husband warned her, she became tamei. If the husband warned her, she did not become tamei. What's l'cheda im nitma? If she became tamei, if she definitely did something wrong, why is she drinking? She's guilty. And im lo nitma, if she did not drink, l'mashke, why is she drinking? She's totally innocent. Magi we learn here from a very important halacha, and this is where Shas always quotes it, but we learn from here. The Torah says, im nitmas, im lo nitmas. In other words, we don't know what happened. Not the pshat in the pasuk is, if she definitely became tamei, she drinks. If she definitely becomes tamei, she drinks. Either one. Why should she drink? If she's definitely tamei, she leaves her husband. She commit adultery. If she definitely did not drink, she's innocent, then why should she leave her husband to drink? But none of us, it's a suffix. We don't know what happened. Did she commit adultery or did she not commit adultery? And what's a din? She can no longer live with her husband. So we learn from here that a suffix is treated as if it's a vaday. We don't know if anything happened to when she drinks the water. As of this moment, she can no longer live with her husband. So we learn from here the famous halacha that a suffix tumah in a shusha yachid is tummy. How do I know? From Saita. Because she is a suffix and she's forbidden to live with her husband. Mikanat adon, from here you learn out lishedis, the laws of tumah. If she was raped, she's not forbidden to husband. Shaygi means she didn't know that this wasn't the husband. It was a shaygi. She thought it was a husband. Then it's not asa. But yet, if it's a suffix, if he warned her and she committed it's a suffix, which means adultery, the din is she's no longer permitted to live with the husband. Shedes, we're a shedes. Asa b'shegi mezid by shedes. Think we care whether you did it by mistake, touch a shedes, did it by purpose, or einus karatzim, whether you forced in touching a shedes or you did it willingly, makes a difference? Absolutely not. Ain't a din. Shouldn't the din be she yasa b'suffix kavade? Shouldn't the din be that a suffix should be like a vaday? We learn from here that every suffix tumah is asa, and we go further, and we makam shebasa. And since we're learning from here that a suffix tumah is a yachid, is tamei, we learn from saita. We have to learn and compare complete the saita. Ma saita, just like a saita, rishus a yachid. Where is the saita? It's a private place. It's a yachid. I've shed it. It's a yachid. It's a yachid. In a rishus a rabim, we say a suffix tumah rishus a rabim is tar. How do we know halacha l'moishim m'sinai? L'cheda, why do we need halacha l'moishim m'sinai? Without this particular law of Saita, what would we say? If you have a suffix tumah, it's just a yachid, what would we say? What should the din be? You should be tar. Why should be tar? L'cheda, suffix mahatayr is always machmir, because you have a cheskas tara. What were you till now? You were tar. Now the suffix is that you change. We have a rule. Whenever there's a suffix, you follow the chazaka. The chazaka says, chazaka mikar, that you're tar, you're tar. Comes along the pasuk and says, no. She says, yachid, we're going to be mitami you. Nu neshusa rabim, we don't have the pasuk, so therefore you're tar, because the cheskas tar. Why do we need halacha mishum sinai to say that neshusa rabim, suffix to mishum is tar? So Taitz and others have explained, because even though it happened to be that a seita, it does things discreetly, doesn't necessarily mean that we limit suffix that we're by tumah that we are machmir only shayachid. Maybe in any tumah, regardless of where it is, will always be machmir. So we need the halach mashmir to come along and say, but shayachim is tar. What's the definition of shayachim? We had the Gemara Nazir, an amazing thing over there. The Gemara Nazir says shayachim is three people. A saita is just her and the adulterers, nobody else there. So that's shayachid. And we had a question, the two nazirs, a guy walked by and he said, I saw one of you become a nazir, I don't remember which one. And we're machmer, the question is, isn't that a suffix tumah shus harabim? It should be mekel. And the Gemara says the guy was far away, he couldn't see. So we learn from there that a shus harabim is three people. Okay, that's one thing that we learn out. And the other thing we learn out is, umaz saitin, just like saitin, dover she yesh boy das li sholo. You can ask the woman, did you become tameh or not? So therefore, I've shed his dover she yesh boy das li sholo. We're talking about a guy, suffix whether he touched a sheretz, he has knowledge. You can ask him, did you touch it? Did you touch? Or he said, I don't know. It doesn't matter if she's lying like that. The idea, it has to be a human. But if it's a suffix, if a keli touched another keli, we wouldn't be machmer. When are we machmer suffix to me, if you're like a seita, you're a human being? And the question is, did something happen now? We don't care what you say, truth or not true, but it's a human being. So if it's a sheretz, and the question is, did you come in contact with the sheretz or not? So we'll say, suffix is tummy. But if it's a question of a keli touching a sheretz or not, there we're not going to be machmen, because there's no das lishoyim. When we can't number from here, we say, dover she yesh boy das lishoyim. B'shusa yachid, if it's about a human being, and the question is, did he become tummy or not? In shusa yachid, svei kai tummy. But b'shusarabim, if it happens, b'shusarabim, sveikai toir, it's toir. However, u'she'ein boi das lishol, if there's no knowledge, and not to my human being, b'ein b'shusayachid, b'ein b'shusarabim, sveikai toir will always be toir. Now, when we ask a question, Rabbi Shmuel says to Rabbi Kiva, we don't understand the discussion with Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva said that this woman, a saita, the moment she becomes a saita, not only she's forbidden to husband, if she's married to a koyin, even if she's a bas koyin, she can no longer eat truma. And Rabbi Shmuel says back to him, what do I need a pasuk to tell me that she cannot marry a koyin? Madach a grusha, bas koyin can eat truma, yet not marry a koyin. Surely this woman who cannot eat truma, because of the pasuk, surely cannot marry a koyin. Who spoke about marrying a koyin here? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel, Amar Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel's name Rabbi Kiva. Truma, he talks about Truma, Umahadal Iyakun. Rabbi Shmuel asks a question about why do I need a pasik to ask her from Kain? Who mentioned at all that there's a pasik to ask her from Manga Kain? So what's going on here? Soon, furthermore, questions Rabbi Kiva. How do you take know that she's forbidden to marry a Kohen? If her husband, let's say she's in a state of a Saita. In other words, nothing was proven. Her husband died. How do you take know she cannot marry a Kohen? Maybe she could marry a Kohen. When do we say you cannot marry a Kohen? You're a Grusha. She's a divorcee. Or if she committed adultery while she was married, so she's also the Kohen. But we don't know. It's a suffix. Who said she's also the Kohen? And you can't learn from a Kavu Chaymer like Rabbi Shmuel, because that's what Rabbi Shmuel said, Madach, a Grusha, Bas Koyin, can eat Truma, yet she does the Koyin. So surely this woman, if she cannot eat Truma, surely you cannot marry a Koyin. That's Rabbi Shmuel. But what, Rabbi Kiva, how does he know that she cannot marry a Koyin? Vesul, Rabbi Kiva, Kuhunim, and all that, how does he know? Vichitem, Kuhunim, and all that, we don't need a Pasik. That since we treat a suffix Zayin like a Vada, she's also her own husband. So what is it? When we say she's also her own husband, what are we really saying? That we suspect, we treat her like she's a Zayna. And a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Zayna. So therefore, that's how we know. That's how Rabbi Kiva knows. Not because of Kavu Chaymer, because the Teda treated her like a Zayna. And a Zayna cannot marry a Kohen. Ebazei, v'chitein b'kunah l'zir g'rami apasik, shali asa b'safik Zayna k'Zayna, because the Teda treats her, even though she doesn't have a suffix, like a definite Zayna, she's forbidden to her husband, is Truma, Truma nami loyti b'yikra. If so, why do we need a pasik to say that she's asa for Truma? Shali asa b'safik Zayna k'Zayna, and we know that a Zayna cannot eat Truma. If she would have been a vada Zayna, she couldn't eat Truma. It says in the pasik clearly, if she married a Ishzor, that's it. This person, we learned yesterday, 2 days ago, makes her pasul to kuhuna. We learned on Shabbos. She makes a pasul to kuhuna. So therefore, we know already that she's pasul to him as well. If you don't need a pasik for a kohen because she's treated like a vadai zoyna, then why do we need a pasik to say that she can no longer eat truma? If she's treated like a vadai zoyna, any woman, even a bas kohen, if she had an affair with someone that is also for her to marry, she loses her rights, her eligibility to eat truma. Because she's a Zayna. So why, when it comes to Truma, you tell me we need a Pasik to tell us that she's no longer like Truma? And yet when it comes to marrying a Koyin, we're asking, you know, how do we know we need, we don't need anything. Why don't you need a Pasik? There's a difference. Ella must be Rabbi Akiva Abba Kroyik Siva. Since Rabbi Akiva says twice Nitma, and like Rabbi said, but Rabbi Akiva also dashes the Vav, so now according to Rabbi Akiva, how many Nitmas do you have for? Just like we had before, bow. It could have said bow with Aravav, even though it says three times the Torah bow. Rabbi Kiva treats it as if it says six times bow, because every time it says with Avav. By Nitma, the same thing. It says Taka twice Nitma, but it says both times with Avav. So Rabbi Kiva looks at it as if it's four times, and he learns something from each one. What does he learn? El Rabbi Kiva, Abba Kroik Sivya, four psukim. Chad Lebal, one to tell you that she's forbidden to her husband straight away. Chad Leboyel, she's Tomei, like what Rebbe said, she's also to the adultery. That takes care of the Rebbe. Now comes along, Rabbi Kiva adds, V'chad l'kuhuna, one to come along and tell you she's not allowed to marry a Kohen, there's a pasuk for it. She's tamei that even if her husband dies in the future, she's like a zoyna, she cannot marry a Kohen. And v'chad l'truma, and one to tell you that, well, that she cannot eat truma anymore because she's like a zoyna. But Rabbi Shmuel says, t'lasa k'roi k'siva, I agree there's only three psukim, and I don't need a pasuk to tell me that she's also to a Kohen, because for that I have a kavu chaymer. Madach a grusha, who is permitted to eat truma, and yet she's forbidden to marry a Kohen. Surely this woman is forbidden to eat truma, surely he's also the Kohen. So I have three psukim. Well, I have three psukim. Chad lebal, one for the husband, chad leboil, yeah. Chad le truma, one she's forbidden truma. And the kuhuna asked him a kavu chaymer. And the kuhuna, I tell you from a kavu chaymer. Okay, we'll stop here. Tomorrow.